Alicia Zaringa is the community organizer at Wilderness Workshop. She will tell us about the impact of climate change on wildlife.
Hi, my name is Alicia Zarang. I'm a community organizer with Wilderness Workshop, and we're a public lands conservation organization that's been based in this valley for over 50 years fighting for public lands. Woo! Our work to conserve public lands isn't just about protecting the places and the wildlife that matter to us locally. It's also about fighting climate change by ensuring that biodiversity, managing healthy ecology, and keeping large swaths of landscapes intact and uninterrupted for migration and species resiliency. Many people are not aware that our federal public lands are one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions in the world, which means that any strategy to reduce emissions worldwide has to include a plan for reducing oil, gas, and coal production on our valuable publicly owned resource. Over the past decade, approximately 40% of coal, 26% of oil, and 23% of natural gas produced in the United States were produced from our federal public lands and waterways. If the U.S. as a whole, if public lands in the U.S., which currently make up about a third of all land in the U.S., if they were their own country, we would currently be the fifth largest emitter of carbon emissions in the world, making it all the more important. So what sort of policy changes need to happen for public lands in order to significantly reduce their contribution to climate change? Well, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has set a goal of capping global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. To achieve this, the world will need to reduce climate emissions by as much as 55% by the year 2030. But importantly, climate emissions from public lands will need to be at net zero by the year 2050. To achieve this, we need a climate plan for public lands that drastically phases down fossil fuel leasing and production, while also supporting those communities that currently rely on boom and bust cycles of fossil fuels with opportunities to transition into a clean energy future. We also need to prioritize those lands that have already been degraded by fossil fuel production as incubators for geothermal, wind, and solar energy, while also working to safeguard wildlife, roadless, and wilderness quality lands. And importantly, we need to eliminate subsidies and loopholes that propagate fossil fuel production instead of clean energy. Lastly, as winters become shorter, summers become hotter and drier, and temperatures in streams and watersheds rise, life forms on our planet are struggling to reproduce as we are experiencing one of the largest mass extinctions in recorded history. To combat this, climate science tells us that maintaining resilient and connected landscapes is key to species adaptation and survival as the pressures of a warming climate and planet mount. This means that conserving large, roadless, and intact swaths of land, like the Thompson Divide right here in our backyard, from future oil and gas production are going to be key to fighting climate change. We need massive and concerted policy change at the local, state, and federal level if we're going to dig ourselves out of this crisis. So I urge you to vote for leaders whose platforms prioritize climate action and hold them accountable when they fail to deliver on their promises. And very importantly, I urge you to engage with your federal lands agencies on the management of our federal public lands, this shared public resource that we're all responsible for. And as I close, I'll leave you with this quote from Margaret Mead, which is, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia.